fed up with politics yet? Surely not. In this week's agenda, I'm talking to the angry man of Manx politics, former MHK for Castletown, Richard Ronan, about the scope of government, the civil service's strong influence on politicians, the need for strong national statesmen, and the great importance of casting your vote in the forthcoming election. Don't forget to get in touch to let me know if you've got any views on the show or if you'd like to add anything to future agendas.
I was never a natural politician. I didn't really see myself as a job I wanted to do. On both occasions when I was elected as a commissioner and as an MHK, I would say I stood as a sort of an angry man who wanted to drive change locally and seen areas nationally where I wanted to do that. I never intended of a long stay in government.
So you talked about being an angry man when you stood. Is there any of that anger left, or have you been pacified? Do you believe that the last 5 years has been glorious and Manx government has done everything it needed to do? The Tynwald have been fantastic. Would that be a fair assessment, would you say?
I think you could probably answer that by saying I accepted your invitation to come and talk about politics, Phil. No far from it, actually. As I said, it was definitely the right decision for me at the time. I think I've still got a deep desire for politics, whether that be globally, nationally, or even locally. I want to see things done right. The decision to step away from politics was mine and my family's, and that was absolutely the right decision. But one thing, when you enter the political field, and this is something I didn't really sort of know or understood at the time when I was a politician locally and nationally, is that it grips you. It grips you. It never leaves you. You're always looking at the news. You're always got an opinion. To answer your question before is, do I think everything's been done right? No, I don't. I think at both levels, locally and especially nationally, I think we've got a long way to go. I think government is over bloated in size. One of the reasons I stood in 2011 was the 2006 Scope of Government report.
So how is it that, how do we actually change that? How do we get past talking about it? Laurie Hooper had a great phrase last night. We've had lots of five-word sentences, five words describing what the problem is and how awful it is. What we need is the next five words, which is, how are you going to fix it? How are you going to pay for it?
I think listening to your broadcast with Chris Robertshaw recently as well, which is interesting. We know Chris was very keen on single legal entity issues, which is quite right as well.
And I should say, he was winning me over in the end.
Yeah. But you know what it's like when you get into government. There's jobs to do. There's the old silos. There's the committees. There's the meetings. And there's the civil service, of course, which, basically are strong and powerful in the Isle of Man government. I would say we do need a strong civil service, that's for sure. But to lead politicians in the way they do, I think, is wrong for the Isle of Man. I think, certainly with the scope of government...
Just on that, though, is that not the fault of the politicians? Surely politicians need to lead. And correct. If they don't lead, and certainly this is what many senior civil servants said to me, in the absence of a political command to the contrary, I'm in charge here.
Yeah.
They soon learned from me, and I know from you, that the minister is in charge, but it's not always the case.
The key to being a politician is the art of decision-making. That's one thing I found quickly, certainly when I became a minister. I think it was the day I left, I said that's one thing I see clearly lacking in the Manx government, because I think the way we're structured, the way our political system is structured, we have very strong local MHKs who fight local issues, and they forget the reason why they are elected is to become a national politician. And I don't see that clear dividing line, as I didn't in 2011, is that we are electing, may I say, in some instances, glorified commissioners who spend their term fighting local issues and forgetting the reason they are there is national lawmakers, and to make the Isle of Man a better, stronger place globally.
And who's to blame for that? Because obviously it's a popular thing to pander to your constituents. Your constituents, on the whole, are going to, well, it would appear anyway, certainly in a number of cases, MHKs who've done an awful lot in the constituency, regardless of what they've done in Tynwald or in government, seem to be doing very well, certainly at the moment in the polls.
I think that's a really good question and a great way of putting it, is that is the system we've got now, which is purely, really, let's be honest about it, which is an independent nature of electing an individual to represent that area on a national basis. So it's what you're doing is you're electing an individual. And I, for the first time, I've got to be honest with you, Phil, I'm starting to think that a party structure might actually be the way forward for the Isle of Man. So instead of voting for him or her, you're voting for A or B, or like whatever party structures that would be set up here. And one of the things that got my head turned, we did an environmental visit to Gibraltar once, and Gibraltar are smaller than we are, they've got a smaller government than we are, and they've got a party structure, and it works, and it's robust. And I think really that's something. I know there's been Liberal Vannon, there's been Labour, there's been different attempts at it over the years, but it's never really taken off. And this is something I would like to see.
And there's an argument. Well, there's various arguments on social media, and whether you want to follow the arguments from social media or not, I'm not sure. But one argument that's often put out there is the hidden conservative, you know, with the subtle blue posters and the blue rosettes, but they're not conservatives. So are they actually a sort of a party? Then there's the often used phrase about the Comyn party. In a way, I mean, I never felt as though I was I was in a party when I was in council of ministers, because we didn't see eye to eye on quite a lot of things, but maybe that was just me. I don't know.
I think consensus is the way you can look at the council of ministers. In my time in there, just over 2 years, you're quite right. It was robust, and it was, at the end of the day, divisive at times. But the rules are, and I suppose in a way, right, is that once a decision has been made, and whether that decision is split, which it was in my time on numerous occasions, you sign up to it. It's the same in any government across the world, the UK, Scotland, whatever, you name it. That's what happens. However, I think to label the Isle of Man, perhaps in UK terms, Liberal, Labour and Conservative, is probably the wrong way to address this. I think the Isle of Man is sort of quite an inclusive society, and I think where to have that clear divisive on ultra right wing and ultra left wing, middle ground liberal type of thing, I think what you need is probably a different type of political structure here. I know there's a very strong argument now for the green agenda, quite rightly, but the green party are by nature very left wing. Would that be right for the Isle of Man? Personally, I don't think that. Do I think we should have a green agenda? Yes, we should. So the argument's there. And it's up to people, organisations, to have a good close look at the way the national government is elected right now. And do we want to continue electing local-based MHKs who are national lawmakers? I'm seeing this now, and I'm seeing it more now, right across the island, not just in my own constituency, and I'm starting to get a little bit concerned because, one, the government financially isn't in a stronger position as it has been over the years, obviously due to the financial impacts of over a decade ago, the VAT, bombshell as it was called then, losing, I believe, up to £300 million per year, which is a breathtaking amount of money, which would arguably build, and in my constituency, the big topic is Castle Rushen High School, you'd build four or five schools a year with that type of money. So we've lost that money, but we're still spending the money like it's still there. So the reserves have come down. So I think this is what I'm saying, Phil. There's a real argument now to change the way we are and way we elect ourselves nationally. But I think to have that, We've got to identify the structures in and around and beneath that. You know, something I know you and I have had many robust discussions on in the past is about local government. What should local government be? Do we keep the old split system, parish, or do we alter that? And I'm a passionate believer in local politics. I served 7 years. It's one of the proudest times of my life. But I don't see it functioning as it could. And I think there's a role in that. And this is where the scope of government talked about this in 2006 and 2011, though Alan Bell brought it back, was developing a formation of a department called a Department of Corporate Development, which was to drive the change agenda on value for money, transferring functions, which would include things like local government. But I think most importantly, and this is the biggest item of the scope of government report, it would give that person a ministerial rank, so they get a seat at the table to drive the change agenda.
You're listening to Richard Ronan, former MHK for Castletown. Unfortunately, the evidence on the ground appears to be the complete opposite. If anything, government seems much less inclined to divest itself of its responsibilities, to hand over responsibilities to local government. I mean, we did make some progress in the last 5 years in handing services over to local government, but that whole agenda seems to have ground to a halt.
I have to say, and I know you're right. You know, we worked on this when we were in government, and what you're getting is a bit of change here and there, is a little bit of, you know, you can repair the potholes. I'm not on about change like that. I'm on about fundamental change. This is the whole point of this. Well, the scope of government report, the biggest topic in there was local authority reform, because the people who wrote that document seen that this is a clear blockage and a stop to the general reform of our national government. And this is where I believe we have been stuck for the best part of 2 decades on talking about this, is we can't make the decisive breakthrough to have clear dividing lines between what is a local government structure and what is a national government structure. To me, for it to work, there has to be clear dividing lines. I'll give you an example. In the Republic of Ireland, during the Celtic Tiger and the subsequent demise of the Celtic Tiger due to the financial crisis, obviously the Republic of Ireland being in the European Union and very much reliant on the European Union, they had a local authority structure. I believe it was older than ours. I believe it was as entrenched as ours. And they've been trying to reform for years and years and years. But the minute the wind blew the wrong way, the minute they knew they were in deep, deep trouble, the organisation that came in was an organisation called the TRICA, I believe, which is the World Monetary, the European Money, agencies like that. And it took them days to go, what on earth is this? This is stopping progress. And basically overnight, that structure has changed. And I would dread and I'd hate the time to come where the Isle of Man is in trouble because the wind blows the wrong way, whether that be through global taxation or whatever comes in. I would hate for us to be in a position where we are forced to do this. I would hope that our politicians on both sides would be able to see that this needs to be reformed, not just for the benefit of local government, but for the mainly for the, to me, the benefit of national government, which would give the national politicians the opportunity to focus on national issues, external issues, you know, our relations with the world, which now is becoming more and more critical.
So knowing that's the answer, knowing that, well, I mean, there's a couple of answers you've come up with there. First answer, of course, is that we need a party political system, and that in itself is quite a bold thing to say. As you know, many, many people in the Isle of Man really don't think that party politics will work on the island. Lots of politicians will pile in, and particularly, I mean, again, part of the problem really, sitting MHKs who've made a very nice nest for themselves, pandering to their constituents in the way that they've done in the past. Why would they want to change? And how do you get that change delivered? And then, of course, you've mentioned the other can of worms, which is local government reform. And again, we sat on slightly different sides of the table. We actually both I think, agreed that local government reform was necessary. But of course, my view was always decide what services you want delivered at a local level first, divest them from central government to local government, and then local government structural reform will happen. Because if the small local authorities aren't capable, then they'll have to merge or do deals or whatever. That was always my view, but I know you had a slightly different
I think
view.
We were closer than maybe other people would assume. It's a great question, a great way of putting it. You know, there's people been in there for years. This suits me. I won't mention names, but I can remember when I was tasked by David Cretney at DOI at the time to go around and reform local authorities. That was a challenge. We went around the island. We tried to sort of encourage a conversation. I think the problem came a sort of 50-50 reaction. And one of the main ones was, you know, you're not here to take our rates, are you, and things like that. You know, it didn't interest me that. You know, rates or local taxation, call it what you like. The biggest issue for me came when I tried to lobby the sitting MHKs. When some very, very senior MHKs, and one in particular, said to me, Richard, why would I want to see local authority reform when it would affect my vote core? Now, that to me was breathtaking at the time. I won't mention names because that's not the way I do things. However, it was said, and you know, that was the sort of thing I get. It was sort of brushed off, laughed at, and it was never going to happen. I know. I remember what was the Russian MHK? It tried to Rimington, John Rimington tried to do it and failed at the last hurdle. But again, it was done. Perhaps that was done in the wrong way. That was the 4+1 structure. Didn't really take into account how that would work.
I think, to be fair, on both John and Pam,
Pam
Crow was the exponent of 4+1 and very, very keen on it, certainly.
Yeah, I remember. However, I think one of the things that has been sort of lost in time with the Isle of Man is this document. It's the reason I stood in 2011, because I've seen this agenda for change, this real opportunity for the Isle of Man to change the way it does its governance locally and nationally, the scope of government report. I say to many people now, this is the finest document ever written within the Manx government structure. So much so, the 2006 administration adopted it, but only meddled with the scope of what government do, didn't touch the scope. They were too frightened of doing that. They realised that that was the main area which was going to drive the change. Alan Bell in 2011, in his acceptance speech to become Chief Minister, basically the first thing he said, we need to bring this back on the table. Okay, it didn't come off like it did, but the intention was there. I think that has been lost under the Quayle administration completely.
There's very, very few either of the wannabe MHKs or the former MHKs talking about these sorts of issues. I tried and failed, sadly, to persuade the Chief Secretary's office to put up a number of the chief executives to come and talk about what the real issues about in terms of the way in which government functions. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to get any response or any positive response on that. But so much of what's being said at these hustings meetings is at best a misunderstanding about how government works. At worst, it's a gross manipulation of the truth. So how are we going to get to where we're talking about here? If most of the politicians, when they're talking to their electorate, are talking about relatively fanciful things, or, you know, yes, it's wrong and we really ought to sort this out, and I think the next 5 years we've got to deliver on whatever the particular local issue is, and most of the issues talked about are local issues. It's a big task to get from where we are.
Answer the question, though. I've been to some hustings as well, and I would say 80% of the stuff is parish pump stuff, as the old Manx saying, isn't it? And I think this just answers the question, and this is what the message I'm hoping to get across this evening is, that where we're getting sucked back in to this. What are we? Are we local politicians? Are we national politicians? And this is my concern at this election. You know, okay, you could call me a hypocrite. Why didn't I stand again? You know, my time isn't ready this election. Who knows in the future? But you know, at least I've been in there and I've seen how the system works. And you know, I still keep coming back to the need for fundamental change. I do appreciate this is not going to happen like a light switch going on and off. The scope of government report clearly says this is a transitional process to get to where we should be. And it's not happening. But what's happened in the last 5 years and is happening now at the hustings is we're not really seeing people of states person like coming forward. There, I know there's some out there, they're good, but I'm concerned that once we get going again in the next administration, it's going to be a lot of the same, and it's going to be more of the government the way it is. We're financially in trouble. We need to change direction, and we're just not seeing that coming. And that's what I said before about the Irish situation years ago. We may, at some point, the money's getting finite now, and I hope that's not the case for much longer. You know, we need new investment. I appreciate that as well. But to have things forced upon us would be the Isle of Man's worst case scenario. And I can always remember, I will mention the name, I always remember Ewan Turner saying this. It used to alarm me about, if we're not careful, we're going to be a region of the Northwest. Well, you know, let's hope that never happens.
That was an aspiration for Ewan, wasn't it?
I think you're right there. But, you know, the thing is, it stuck in my head. And you may say it was an aspiration of his, but, you know, he, in fairness to him, had a point. You know, at the end of the day, constitutionally, it would be a catastrophe. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, if our money runs out or the systems change across the world, we're not like we were 20 years ago. The digital world now, which we live in, everything is shared. Things can happen at the flick of a switch. People can leave at the flick of a switch. Industries can go. They can go from Douglas to Malaysia overnight. It's not like it used to be. And, you know, the Isle of Man has to be in a different place. And I just think, you know, the change of government to make it leaner and meaner. We're too big. Everything takes too long. It's like a treacle process. And I think, you know, we've got to get to the stage where government is lean and nimble. And we're a long, long way away from that right now. At the end of the day, the polling day experience is unique in the world, in the free world anyway. It's a very, very personal experience. I think, to me, it's not voting for what's in it for me. There's too much of that. What's in it for me? What should be when you go into that booth, that moment is yours. You know, to me, it's about picking up your pencil. That's picking up your pencil, and at that moment, your decision isn't your indulgence anymore. You know, it's about other people. And I just hope that people, when they have that moment, their moment, it's precious. Just please make sure you make the right decision for you and your family, but more importantly, make the right decision for the Isle of Man's future generations.
That's all for this week's programme. I hope you enjoyed listening to Richie Ronan's interesting take on Manx politics and where we're up to. So, will the next government tackle the scope of government? Will they deal with the civil services' influence on politicians? Only time will tell. You can listen to a podcast of this discussion on Manx Radio's website and on Spotify. I'm Phil Gorn. Go to my Moyo. Thanks for listening.